are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast. Was riding Rawls for like multiple weeks and then ended up, yeah, literally and metaphorically.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
It's kind of like knocked up, like they're talking about Flesh of the Stars, like the website or whatever. It's like, no, that is our job. We just don't make money off of it, so.
That Walford pick didn't really work out for either one of us.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
And of course, we know Kenny Stills can't catch touchdown passes.
Oh my God, Kenny Stills.
So hard to watch. That was just so beautiful.
I don't know what was worse, him dropping a wide open 80-yard touchdown or Terrence Williams not getting out of bounds.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
It is week two of the NFL, and you are listening to Friends with Fantasy Benefits DFS podcast. I'm Sasha Salinger. You can find me on Twitter at Sasha Salinger, super original. And I'm here with Mike Werner.
What is up? I'm excited for week two. I had a pretty nice week one. I'm not going to lie. It was pretty exciting. And I was in San Diego, like I mentioned last week. So it was just an all-around great time. Great way to kick off the NFL season. So let's try and get some more money this week.
Yeah, well, you may have done really well, but that Walford pick didn't really work out for either one of us. I was full Walford, and I actually still really like him this week too, but he did not put up great numbers last week.
No, he didn't. And honestly, a lot of tight ends didn't, to be honest. It was a pretty... pretty depleted week for tight ends overall. When Dwayne Allen is and Jack Doyle combined for three total touchdowns, that's kind of a problem. It was
Gary Barnage. I have him in my season long and zero.
Well, at least, I mean, he's actually going to be featured on this show, but, at least Josh McCown is kind of coming back into the fold here. But overall, I played Delanie Walker a good amount last week. I did play Clive Walford. It was just kind of that's just kind of the way the days go. Sometimes you can't always predict it, but hopefully we can kind of narrow down some tight ends going forward.
It's sort of a tight end wasteland right now.
It is. And Gronk might not play this week either.
Right, but Bennett didn't do anything.
No, that pissed me off to no end.
Me too. And he's a giant man. You'd think he'd be able to break through. He had two targets or two receptions, I think.
Yeah, he had, I think it was 3 for 14, but... I mean, the thing with Bennett was that, and this was kind of my problem going into the season, was I felt like Bennett would do better with Gronk on the field, but I wanted to give it a shot with him off of it. So, I mean, the fact that Bennett was so cheap last week and the fact that he was going to be one of the few pass catchers on the Patriots, I thought that it was a pretty solid move. But at the end of the day, they had him block the majority of the time that he was on the field, which, obviously won't lend to fantasy points. So hopefully Gronk plays this week and, for my season-long teams, because I have a ton of Martellus Bennett. I actually think I draft him in every single one of my season-long leagues. So, I mean, if you have Martellus Bennett, I promise you I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we know about Gronk? I think he's still pretty questionable. I'm not sure he's going to be playing this week.
He's questionable, but I think a lot of people are leaning towards him playing, and I'm on the opposite end because the latest reports, like if you kind of read through the tea leaves a bit, it doesn't look great. Like he didn't even travel with the team last week.
Right.
And then this week, there's multiple Patriots observers that have said that at practice, he is not even running routes yet. Like he's kind of just sitting there running in place whenever the rest of the team is running routes. So, I mean, it's Thursday at this point. If you're not running routes, it's kind of hard for me to see that you're going to play a game, on Sunday. So for me, if I'm putting a hard stance on it right now on Thursday, I'm going to say he's not going to play, which kind of means for me that I'm not going to be playing Bennett based on what we saw last week. But it's the Patriots. We never really know, so we could see him active.
So who else do you like on the Patriots? I noticed they were using Blunt basically every down. He was quite a workhorse, so, and he's still pretty cheap on DraftKings.
Yeah, he's 4,000 this week on DraftKings. I like Blunt this week. I think he's going to be not necessarily chalk, but I think a lot of people are going to be rostering him, especially based on the price and the fact that he received so many touches last week. I mean, 22 touches is a damn good amount of work. They're facing Miami, so we could see a situation where they have the lead the majority of the time. Miami, they made that trip all the way across to face Seattle last week and actually did better than they would.
They look pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you got to give them credit there. And at the end of the day, you know, maybe they put up a better game. But I mean, they're traveling into New England. It's always a hard spot to be in. Miami typically plays New England better at home in Miami than they do on the road. So, I mean, if you're basing it off of Vegas, which I mean, it's a 6.5-point spread at the moment, with New England favored, any game that New England's favored, and the fact that you mix in the fact that, you know, Blunt got 22 touches last week, I think that lends to a pretty good chance of him having a significant workload and the 4,000 price tag. So, yes, I do like Blunt this week.
What about Edelman or newcomer Chris Hogan came out of sort of nowhere last week as well?
Yeah, I'm not really big on the pass catchers, to be honest. I don't really care for any of the Patriots pass catchers based on their prices or the situation at hand. I didn't love what I saw from Garoppolo. I think he got a really easy, you know, kind of situation last week. You know, for me, it's just kind of a situation where I'm in to go with Blunt. I will, if I, you know, feel like it's necessary, I'll go with James White. I don't mind that situation. But as far as the pass catchers, I'm not ready to roster any of them until I see Tom Brady back on the field.
No, that's totally fair. I agree with, I actually like Garoppolo. I think he will still be underused in big GPP tournaments, and he's so cheap that, you know, matching him with Edelman got a few looks, but of course you can't do Bennett. I actually kind of like Hogan because he's so cheap and you don't know.
I mean, it's no problem. If you strongly feel like the Patriots are going to just wallop on Miami this week, then I have no problem going with game stacks. I just feel like if the Patriots are going to get up and, you know, say Chris Hogan does catch a touchdown pass in the first quarter and then Ryan Tannehill throws like a pick six. After that, I feel like it's just going to be like LeGarrette Blunt time. So, I mean, you're kind of limiting your upside if you go with, you know, two pass catchers from the Patriots and Blunt at that same, you know, at the same time. I don't know. Yeah, for me, it's just kind of, it's not enough.
Well, you know, I always like submit about 50 different lineups. So, of course, I wouldn't all put them all together, but I, you know, different options for different lineups.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, why not?
And of course, we know Kenny Stills can't catch touchdown passes.
Oh my God, Kenny Stills.
Oh, it was so hard to watch. That was just so beautiful.
I don't know what was worse, him dropping a wide open 80-yard touchdown or Terrence Williams not getting out of bounds. I honestly, it's worse. If I'm an NFL receiver and if I'm either one of those two, I'm leaving. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to play in the NFL anymore because that's just way too embarrassing. And then Terrence Williams comes out and it's like, well, if somebody wants to take my job, they can come take it from me. You know, like,
okay. There's plenty of people who want that job and will work harder and be better and probably take your job from you.
Yeah. So you can calm down with that, bro.
Yeah. Oy. So, so bad. So of course we're not going Tannehill. Who are you liking for QBs?
The guy that I'm kind of starting off with is Cam Newton, right? Because San Fran, I mean, if you actually watch that Monday night game, which was insanely horrible, one of the worst football games I've ever watched in my life, you know, and I did watch the whole entire thing, which, you know, shame on me for doing so. But the fact that San Fran is kind of coming off of that big win against the Rams at home, and then they have to go across to face Carolina at home, a Carolina team that just lost to Denver, just got beaten up by Denver, really, and they have extended rest based on that. I think that they're going to absolutely slaughter San Francisco. So I do think that Cam Newton is the top overall, you know, cash game play for this week. He's 7,900, the second highest priced quarterback on DraftKings. He's my top ranked quarterback for this week on the Friends with Fantasy Benefits rankings. The next guy I would go with, in my opinion, is Eli Manning. He's 7,600, just a few hundred less, but, you know, he's facing New Orleans. It's at home for them. At the end of the day, this game last year, I think had 13 total touchdowns. Mind you, this isn't going to be
the score was 52 Saints, 49 Giants.
Exactly. So I don't think it'll be that bad. I don't think it's going to be that high scoring again. And, you know, there is expected to be some unfavorable conditions weather-wise. So I would monitor that. I mean, we're recording this on Thursday. If all of a sudden on Saturday night or Sunday morning we're getting, you know, reports that the weather is going to be some type of torrential downpours with, you know, gusty winds and, you know, all this type of jazz, then obviously you don't want to really go with somebody like Eli Manning there. But I do like Eli Manning more than I like Drew Brees because of the fact that I think the New Orleans defense is just absolute trash. I think we saw that last week. And then on top of that, I think that the Giants defense is just a bit better.
Who are you stacking Cam and Eli with?
Cam, I mean, I think the best one is obviously Kelvin Benjamin. He, you know, despite a ton of reports last week, you know, heading into their matchup with Denver, that he was going to be limited in his targets, he still received, I think it was over 30% of the market share of the targets in the Carolina receiver core. So he's still being heavily involved in the offense like he was in his rookie year. He's being heavily involved in the offense in the red zone. I think that Kelvin Benjamin is really the best play as far as pass catchers go from Carolina. Obviously, you know, somebody like Greg Olsen is in play here. I'm still not leaning that way because I think that there's a couple. I think based on, you know, the way that I've constructed my lineups, I'm going to be saving on tight end this week, and especially based on the way tight end kind of shaped out last week. It seems to me like that's the better place to kind of go. But, you know, for me, it's Cam Newton. And then if you don't want to roll with Cam Newton, I would just roll Kelvin Benjamin out there regardless. That way you still get some type of exposure.
And he's pretty cheap considering.
Yeah, I think he's 6,200 off the top of my head, which is still, you know, not very expensive at all.
6,500, but
65. Yeah. So easily, you know, you can easily fit him in, which is nice. So I definitely like Kelvin Benjamin on that end. As far as Eli goes, I still like Sterling Shepard a ton. He caught a touchdown last week. Victor Cruz, bless his heart, I love that he scored. But I still don't think he's a focal point of this offense. I still love Sterling Shepard. Odell Beckham I have in every lineup. I'm just going to be completely candid here. He's 9,500. If you want to pay up, I think that he is the one to pay up for. Nobody on that team is going to be able to cover him. Again, this really just comes down to the weather being fine. If the weather's good, then I think that this will be a situation where Odell Beckham will absolutely stun out, probably score two touchdowns, have 130 yards, whatever. But I really like Sterling Shepard on the lower end there if you want to, you know, kind of mix it up and not go completely chalk.
Yeah, I really like that. And also on the running back side, if you don't end up going Eli Manning, I like using Rashad Jennings because I think they're going to get further, you know, pretty close to in the red zone, and they're just going to use him to go 2 yards into the end zone.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't recall, Jalen Richard for Oakland had like 3 rushes for 80 yards last week. You know, Latavius Murray didn't do bad either. DeAndre Washington. So pretty much, again, New Orleans defense is not good. There's no other way for me to say it other than they're absolute trash. And it doesn't matter who they're playing or where they're playing. They're not going to be able to cover every single player. If you're banking on the Giants, then I have no problem. The ones that I think are the best plays are Eli Manning, Rashad Jennings, and Odell Beckham. But I have no problem going Sterling Shepard as well. You bring up a great point with Jennings, though. I love him.
Yes. Also, speaking of running backs, I have Todd Gurley in my season long, and I'm actually thinking of benching him this week. I'm so scared. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I wouldn't bench him in season long. I don't think you can do that. You know,
just for this week.
Yeah, I understand
in
it.
In Seattle.
I understand. I still am as a top 10 running back based on season long ranks. So I understand why you would want to do that. But typically, Seattle or St. Louis plays Seattle fairly tough. You know,
it's Los Angeles.
It is.
Sorry, St. Louis.
That's the way I've always been brought up with them, but.
Historically, it has been St. Louis, so you're right.
If we look at what Gurley did against Seattle last year, he played them in week 16. He put up 85 yards rushing on 19 attempts, one touchdown, and then he also, you know, chipped in a 7-yard reception. It's not terrible, but the fact that...
Will you play him in DFS?
Not in DFS, absolutely.
So I may take him out for my one game this week.
Yeah, if you're going to go top end with your running back, you know, David Johnson, 7,600 is the way you would go. Tampa Bay, though, does have a really good run defense. I love their interior defensive line. I am a Tampa Bay Bucks fan, so, you know, that kind of has something to do with it as well. But David Johnson is an athletic freak. I've been saying that since he came into the league last year out of Northern Iowa. I think it's been pretty apparent based on watching him how great he actually is. So I don't mind him being the top overall, you know, price running back this week, but I'm not going to be paying that high of a price.
So then who do you like then in the high end?
On the high end, I like Lamar Miller. KC is just not the same without Tamba Hali at full capacity. They lost Sean Smith in the offseason. Justin Houston still isn't there. There's a lot of, I mean, San Diego, Melvin Gordon scored 2 touchdowns in what, the first quarter last week. So if Melvin Gordon can do that,
he's not that
really
good.
Yeah, he's not. He really isn't. Then I really like Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller got not just a season high, but a career high in touches last week for Houston. And, you know, this is, I I think a team that wants to use Lamar Miller as much as possible. The fact that he's 7,200, it's not that big of a deal to me. If you are playing cash games, I think Lamar Miller is a safe, at least 20 touches, even more if Houston gets up pretty big in the game and they want to kind of just run the clock out. D'Angelo Williams as well against Cincinnati. It's, pretty much chalk that he's going to do well, regardless of, how the game is going to go because Le'Veon Bell is out. I mean, every single game that Le'Veon Bell has been out, he has been a running back one. I don't think it changes this week against Cincinnati. Last year against them, he put up 76 yards and 2 touchdowns in the game that he faced them while Le'Veon Bell was out. He also chipped in a couple receptions for 15 yards. I have no problem going with D'Angelo Williams up top. I'm going to be fading Spencer Ware. I know a lot of people like him based on what he did last week, myself included, but he's been questionable this week. He's also been limited in practice. The split in the actual snaps that him and Charcandrick West had were way too close for me to feel comfortable. I think it was almost like he only outsnapped West by like 3 snaps, which is a problem for me, especially when you're going to be playing in a game where Houston probably will be up. And then Charcandrick West is a little bit better receiving back, even though Spencer Ware did a magnificent job catching the ball out of the backfield last week. But I mean, let's be honest, if he didn't catch a few of those balls in the second half against San Diego, a lot of people, including myself, would have been very upset with what Ware did. Overall, as far as other running backs, I really do like Danny Woodhead, 5,200 against Jacksonville. His targets and usage go way up when Keenan Allen is out, and RIP, he's out for the season, which is very unfortunate for everybody. TJ Yeldon at 4,700. Chris Ivory is still out with that kind of mysterious illness.
So he released a statement today basically saying, thank you for your concern and for not asking what it was.
I think all of us are asking. You're just not answering, bro.
Right. I'm like really hoping he just took some Viagra and had like a hard on for 48 hours. That's why I won't. I mean, it's so weird.
I'm honestly hoping that too. If that comes out that way, then I think you should win like a ton of money for getting that right.
I know. Can I get odds on that? You guys, if you're listening, tweet at me and then we can lay some odds because that'd be so ridiculous. But it's weird. I mean, a lot of preseason, there's a lot of talk that he would be the starting running back for Jacksonville at some point, sort of take over most of the responsibilities, but he's just been questionably hospitalized.
Yeah, that was the risk coming into it. And you're right. Chris Ivory was supposed to be kind of the guy that, ran between the 20s, kind of the grinder, and then not ran between the 20s, but ran inside the 20 in the red zone. And then TJ Yeldon was supposed to be kind of the PPR asset, the guy that would play on third downs, just kind of be able to stretch the field a bit. But, since he's been out, I mean, let's not, sugarcoat things. TJ Yeldon did terrible last week, getting the full, complement of carries here because Green Bay was just absolutely on top of it against Jacksonville. But I think San Diego, presents a much better situation this week. It's, again, 4,700 for a guy that's probably going to get at least 15 to 18 touches. That's a really good odds of him fulfilling that price tag. So, I mean, I definitely love Yeldon. As far as Ivory, I do hope that there is some type of Vegas bet that, he...
Well, what his illness is? Well, he had some, pretty great moments for the Jets last year. So, it's just a matter of time before he comes on the field and puts up some numbers. But very unclear as to what's going on there.
Yeah, it is very unclear. I mean, as far as the rest of the running backs, really fast, I do still like LeGarrette Blount at 4,000. If you don't care for Blount and you think that it's going to be a closer game, then I do like James White. He's still getting a good amount of targets back there in the backfield, still getting a good amount of reps as well. So I can definitely dig some James White down there. He's the exact same price at 4,000. So, take that for what it's worth. And other than that, I think that's pretty much what I'm going to be going with this week. There's really not a lot of lower tier guys that are, catching my eye. So that's really what I'm kind of going with. I really don't mind Theo Riddick if you want to kind of go back to the well there, but I still think he's a highly risky proposition. I would only roster him in tournaments. The price is still good. I mean, it's only 4,300 and he, did have a magnificent week last week. But again, he's not going to be facing Indy. Indy's defense is just absolutely hideous. So take that for what it's worth.
And now what about Tevin Coleman as a last resort running back? It looks like Devonta Freeman's either out or very questionable. And they were sort of splitting snaps last weekend. And if Freeman's out, I really like Coleman. I like him just for sheer numbers.
Yeah, I mean, the last report I saw had Freeman playing, which, you know, you kind of take that for what it's worth as well. But, you know, Oakland did a pretty good job on Mark Ingram last week. And I'm not going to base their whole entire defense on that, but I do like their defense as a whole. I don't like the secondary as much. I think that they still have a lot of holes there, obviously, with Brandon Cooks running just free down the field.
So do you like Julio Jones then this week?
I do like him a bit. And I think I like him more in tournaments because I think a lot of people are going to be down on him based on the fact that he's already had an ankle injury. And, you know, he just really was bottled up a lot last week before he, you know, finally caught that touchdown against the Bucks, a team that he historically has really beaten up on. Before we move on to wide receivers, though, I already had in my lineup without even looking at him, CJ Anderson. I think the top overall, you know, running back cash game play this week, facing Indianapolis. He already received, you know, 24 touches last week. Absolute stud. I mean, I don't think that there's any argument to make that CJ Anderson isn't the focal point of the Denver offense. And the fact that you're getting him, you know, at a price that he's like the seventh price running back on DraftKings. I think that he's amazing value this week.
Oh, you don't like Devonta Booker? And him fumbling his first play.
Yeah, strong Booker.
I just have this weird wall with CJ Anderson. I'm just so skeptical, and I know he was amazing and great, but I don't know. We'll see.
I understand. He screwed a lot of people, you know, last year, including myself. I mean, he, you know, didn't put lube on or anything. He just straight did it, and I had to take it. So, I mean, he did it Van Rame style in Pulp Fiction. That's the way I like to kind of look at it with him. So I understand it. And honestly, you know, I say this all the time with fantasy. You know, it's a game for fun. It's a game, you know, where we like to pick the guys that we love and, you know, hopefully win with them, you know. And at the end of the day, if somebody screws you over and you don't want to roster that player ever again, you know, I get it. From a rational standpoint, you know, there is ways to kind of look past that and try and give them another chance. But from an irrational standpoint, and, you know, the fact that you just want to have fun, if you hate CJ Anderson, like, then hate him, you know, don't play him ever again.
No, I may never play him ever again. And that's sort of how I'm feeling right now about moving on to wide receivers. I was really excited about John Brown on the Cardinals. And yeah. It was the Larry Fitzgerald show.
It was
questionable now. And I'm like, oh, now that Larry Fitzgerald's questionable, maybe I put in Floyd and Brown again, give him a shot. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm still off of Brown for now. And, you know, it's not because I, you know, think his talent is limited or anything. I just, you know, this Arizona, you know, pass catching, you know, core really is just really hard to predict on a week to week basis. I think it's pretty easy to say that Larry Fitzgerald is going to get a lot of the red zone looks, and then Michael Floyd is going to get targeted a ton as well. So it's really hard for me to, you know, sit here and, you know, say that John Brown is somebody that I'll be looking to roster this week, especially, you know, last week he only got, you know, what, 4 targets. When you look at the other two, they got 7 and 10 respectively. Larry Fitzgerald, like I said, was heavily involved in the red zone. It's really hard for me to go with John Brown. I don't mind, you know, there's a lot of times it's hard, you know, to have me disagree with you when trying to get a guy with a high upside, you know, play in tournaments. You know, John Brown, I think, still has a high upside. Really strong receiver, really fast. I mean, has breakaway speed. So I don't mind him in tournaments at any time. And facing the Bucs secondary, which is, you know, hideous, there's worse plays. But there's just a few other guys that I would rather go with.
And also, on the other side of that, what happened to Vincent Jackson last week? Nothing.
Vincent Jackson's just, you know, he's kind of old and decrepit, you know, just kind of going out there doing his thing. I don't mind him this week. I will say that he's, you know, going to be on the other side of Patrick Peterson. Mike Evans is a no-go for me. I, you know, even if he goes out and has a strong game, then that's just a result of the, you know, the fact that he ends up having a strong game because of, you know, some random act of God, as opposed to the process being strong, because Patrick Peterson is a top 5 corner in this league. And, you know, to me, I'm not going to roster a wide receiver knowing he's going to be the majority of the time he's going to be getting covered by one of the best guys in the league. So if Evans has a good game, then it's not because the process was wrong, in my opinion. But I do like V-Jax this week from a sense that he's going to be on the other side of that coin, and, you know, maybe he'll get a few more receptions that way. But the Bucs offense is just spread up. You know, I mean, Jameis Winston, as good as he is, he just likes to spread the ball around. There was a ton of, I think it was, what, 3 tight ends that caught a touchdown last week. So, you know, it's really hard to pinpoint with Winston who he's going to go to, except for Mike Evans. And with Mike Evans having a bad matchup, you know, it's really hard to pinpoint who he'll go to.
Would Would you ever just play Jameis Winston alone and not stack him?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that would have been a good move last week, to be honest, just to go with Winston and, you know, let it ride. I think we might see as the season goes on that that's probably the better route to go anyways. Because as much as I love Evans, he's an inconsistent player unless he proves otherwise this year. And they just have the way that the Bucs run their offense. I mean, it's pretty obvious to me that they want to spread the ball around. So, I think that's probably the better way to go is just go with Winston. And if you really feel strongly like one guy is going to end up getting, 5 to 10 touches or something, then yeah, go with them. But it's really tough when Charles Sims and Cameron Braid and Austin Seferian Jenkins and, you know, Mike Evans are all catching touchdowns. It's really tough to pinpoint one guy.
Right. No, I don't believe. And plus with an Arizona defense as well.
Yeah.
It's a tough week to pick anybody. Who at do you home. Like? For, yeah, at home, right. So you liked OBJ. Mm-hmm. Do you like any of the other high-end wide receivers?
It's really hard. I like them all, honestly. Antonio Brown is like an automatic type play, right? Because
even though he's so expensive, it's just worth it.
It really is. I mean, I've tried to find a way. You play with these prices as soon as they kind of come out, and you try and find ways to fit guys here and fit guys there. Antonio Brown, if it's not apparent, is just insane. There's no way for me to describe him. Just watching him play, I feel honored to be able to watch him play. Kind of like with Clayton Kershaw in baseball, I just feel honored that I was alive in this, era to be able to watch him do what he does. I will say, against Cincinnati last year, this was his lines. He went 7 for 87 with 0 touchdowns in one of the games, and then he went 6 for 47 with another touchdown in the other game. So, total, it's not that impressive. For me, I've been going with OBJ over Antonio Brown, but I have no problem with going with Brown at all. Julio Jones is underneath OBJ and Antonio Brown. I think we kind of mentioned him earlier about, just people are probably going to be a little bit tepid on rostering him because of the fact that he already had the ankle issue, and then he really didn't save people until later on in the game last week against the Bucs. But I do like him against Oakland. I don't really think they have a lot to be able to cover him with. They do have nice size corners, but I don't think they'll be able to keep up with him. Yeah, I just don't think they'll be able to keep up with him athletically, but I do think he'll be low owned. So if you don't love Julio Jones, but you like the fact that he might be low owned, this might be the week to kind of go that route. AJ Green against Pittsburgh is absolutely insane. The last 4 or 5 times that he's faced them, he has went absolutely off against them. I know he had his one game last year where he just went absolutely bonkers against Pittsburgh. I'm trying to remember the game. Yeah, he went on 17 targets, 11 receptions for 118 yards and a touch. And then the other game, he went 6 receptions for 132 yards and a touch on 9 targets. It's pretty safe to say that AJ Green is still the focal point of this offense, even more so than last season, with the losses of Muhammad Sanu and Marvin Jones, respectively. So if I had to pay for one, I'm going OBJ, but right underneath him is AJ Green for me, above Julio and Antonio Brown. But it's insanely close.
Well, I also really like the Raiders wide receivers this week because, as you were saying, Tampa Bay had 4 passing touchdowns against Atlanta last week.
Uh-huh.
So I really like Amari Cooper, Crabtree again, and going back to last week, even Walford. I like the idea of getting passing touchdowns, which is I also like Derek Carr this week as well.
Yeah, I like all of them as well. I haven't found myself in rostering them yet based on the lineups I've done so far. I do still like Desmond Trufant, and he does like to shadow guys at times. So that's kind of why I've been a little bit, worrisome of Amari Cooper. But at the same time, if he's shadowing Cooper, then that leaves more for Crabtree and Walford. I just don't like the Atlanta defense overall. My problem with this is that I don't know which Oakland guy is going to go off, because it could easily be Latavius Murray, who I think, I didn't mention him in the running backs, but I do think could have a decent game this week. I just don't love the price point. As far as the other wide receivers, Amari Cooper looks like an absolute stud, regardless of the fact that he faced New Orleans last week. And if you look at the second half last year, he kind of went down in a lot of the key metrics for him. He just looked like an absolute stud last week, regardless of who he was facing. So, I mean, I can't really say, I don't really care for Cooper. I just haven't found myself rostering him yet. based on the fact that I like some of the guys in front of him, and there's some other value plays that we'll kind of talk about later on. But I really, if I had to pick between the two, I really like Crabtree, because I do think that Trufant will probably fade a lot more towards Cooper's side. And Crabtree is 6,100, still gets a ton of targets, still gets a ton of red zone usage. So I think I would go with Crabtree between the two.
I may have to go with you on that and trust you. Or I might go crazy and do a Carr, Cooper, Crabtree stack and just hope they blow them out. That'd be really sick. Well, I'm also a Raiders fan, so that's just wishful thinking.
Are you really?
How dare you? There is so much judgment in your voice.
I am so sorry. I'm so sorry for that. You know who the Buccaneers beat in 2002?
Yeah, because you had John Gruden.
Oh, it's...
You had our coach.
It was glorious. It was glorious. Yeah,
for you, I'm sure it was. It was such an ass whipping.
How many Super Bowls do the Raiders have, though? I mean, you can't be really be that upset. I mean,
well, in my lifetime, zero.
Yeah, that's kind of tough. You always want to see your team go off in your lifetime. Yeah, and that's the thing about the Bucks. Like, even if they go 0-16 for the rest of my life, which can't happen this year, they still won a Super Bowl in my lifetime, so I'm pretty happy about that. But
I love the shout out that you're not going to go 0-16 this year.
I know it's a hot take. I don't know if I've heard a hotter take this year yet, but. As far as being a Raiders fan, there's a lot to like with them. So, it's not going to be that bad for that long.
And honestly, I know they won and they had the ball. They went for the 2-point, but they had so many penalties. They didn't look that great. And I think can actually sort of only be up from that game because there were a lot of mistakes made.
I love, though, that they went for two, because that shows like, hey, we have balls. Yeah. We're going to go for it. We're not going to just sit here and tie the game up and then play you in overtime at your home stadium.
Oh.
Like,
we're going to go for it. Against Drew Brees at home, I loved that. It was a great call. I loved it.
Yeah, I know it's a little off DFS topic, but I do love that.
Oh, well, we can go off topic if we're complimenting my team. That's totally fine.
I do want to mention, as far as top tier wide receivers go, Dez Bryant is an absolute no-go for me, not playing him at all. Also, will not be playing Allen Robinson. I like Jason Verrett or Logan Verrett. I forgot his name, but Verrett is his last name, from San Diego. He's been a stud this year. I know Robinson likes to move around in formations, but Verrett is the type of guy that will shadow players. So if anything, I would go with Allen Hurns in that situation, not Allen Robinson. I also really don't care for DeAndre Hopkins either, and it's not because I don't like him as a player. I know you absolutely love him as a player.
I do. I
feel like the Houston offense is also a team that's going to spread around a ton and probably will control this game, which means that they won't need to throw it to Houston or to Hopkins that much.
Well, Will Fuller had a great game, and I really like him in this game.
I do too. I have him in a lot of places. Will Fuller looks spectacular. I mean, he is an absolute game changer for me. He can catch the ball at can get a 5-yard reception and then make it a 35-yard reception in literally 2 seconds. So he's a dynamic talent. I think I kind of shortchanged him a bit coming out of the draft, especially with the drops. I felt like he would drop every single pass like Ted Ginn, but he's obviously making strides to improve that part of his game. And he did drop another touchdown in the first game, so it could have been a much bigger line than what he did put up, but he's still cheap. He's 4,200, which is an amazing price, especially for tournaments. So I definitely like that. Another guy that I just was not going to roster at all is Brandon Cooks, coming off of last week. He got really lucky on that 90-yard or 92-yard reception. He's facing a much better secondary in the New York Giants. I hear a lot of analysts kind of split on the Giants' defense. Like, some people think they're much improved. Some people think that they are still absolutely terrible. Me, I feel like the defensive line is much improved, which means that, a team like New Orleans, as good as they are on offense, they still don't have a great offensive line. They have a lot of, a lot of ways to go in terms of getting that line improved. And if the Giants' defensive front can kind of get at them, then somebody like Cooks won't have enough time to really, gain separation the way he did in week one. So just a few of those guys I'm not going to be going with.
So what about Snead then? Because Snead also had a crazy game.
I still like Snead.
You do.
And I wish I kind of touted him more last week, because I had a ton of Snead in my lineups, but I didn't really vocalize it enough on this show how much I really did care for him.
So you could say I told you so.
Yeah. But I still like Snead this week. Obviously, he's not going to do what he did last week. I mean, he's not going to put up 178 yards and, you know, what, two touchdowns or whatever it was. But he still is. His price is still low, 5,800. It's still very, very solid place to go price point wise. As far as that price point, I still like Emmanuel Sanders, who's a little bit above him at 6,000. I don't like Demaryius Thomas at all. The hip problem is scary. And the fact that I just think Indianapolis's defense, while it is bad, and while I do think Demaryius Thomas will be okay, I feel like the offense as a whole will be going to CJ Anderson a lot more, and Emmanuel Sanders is the guy that I think would be targeted a bit more than Demaryius Thomas, especially because of that hip. So that's, you know, just another guy at that same price point. Allen Hurns is also right around there at 5,400, who, again, you know, based on the Allen Robinson hate, I really like.
And another cheap option, I really like Mike Wallace. He had a great game last week, and he's playing the Browns this week. So I think that's a really good option if you need some cheap players that have a high ceiling.
Yeah, I love Wallace. And, you know, he's the one receiver I would take a shot on in tournaments because, you know, I mean, are we really going to bank on Breshad Perriman or Kamar Aiken or Steve Smith, who I think his inefficiency was like highly, you know, highly talked about last week because I think he had like some like 19 yards on like 9 targets, some ridiculous. So the inefficiency was definitely apparent with Steve Smith, but I really like Mike Wallace. If we're going to go with another, you know, guy from Baltimore, well, we'll talk him out with the tight ends, but I like Dennis Pitta a bit this week as well. Some other value guys, Travis Benjamin, 4,400. I think he will be a lot more of a possession receiver than he was with the Browns, especially since Keenan Allen is out for the season. So, you know, that's kind of unfortunate for Benjamin, but I do think he still has some playmaking ability to be able to, you know, stretch the field out a bit. Like I mentioned before, I like V-Jax. He's only 4,000. That's a pretty solid price. I still like Marvin Jones at 5,500. I mean, he got a ton of targets last week. I think it was 11. And, you know, Matthew Stafford just looks great. We didn't go through a lot of quarterbacks. Yeah, that Cooter, man, is just doing wonders for the Tigers, for the Lions. And, you know, I think Marvin Jones is going to be like one of the main beneficiaries of that. I can't say Cooter without laughing for 10 minutes.
It's
so.
I want to say with a Southern Jim Bob Cooter, even though he's not Southern, but it's just fun.
Yeah, I'm a 10-year-old, so I'll laugh at that any day of the week. I'll throw out a couple more guys. We already mentioned Will Fuller. I like Terrell Pryor at 3,500 as a tournament play. He looks great, man. I mean, he's just an all-around athlete, and the fact that, you know, Josh McCown is there, you know, he doesn't necessarily have as good of a deep ball as RG3 does, but he's definitely better at, you know, running the offense, in my opinion. So I don't mind Terrell Pryor. I also like Tyrell Williams, 3,700, already had 2 receptions for like 70 yards last week. Obviously, he's not going to continue that same rate, but he does have a pretty decent rapport with Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers has been pretty vocal that he likes Tyrell Williams. He likes what he's done this offseason. You know, really good guy to go with, in my opinion, as far as a tournament dart throw. So Tyrell Williams is certainly a guy you should kind of monitor. Tajay Sharp, too. Sorry, I know I have a lot of plays here, but Tajay Sharp.
Well, do you like Tajay against Darius Slay this week? Is the
I don't think he's going to be like covering him. I don't think he's going to shadow him. And if he is, then like, I mean, are you serious, Lions? You're going to, you know, you're going to really shadow cover Tajay Sharp. But
I mean, who else is there?
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, for Christ's sake, Harry Douglas got the second most snaps of the wide receiver core from Tennessee last week, which is just a crying shame. But I'll say this about, you know, the whole, you know, Slay thing. Sharp is only 4,100. He still received, I believe, 11 targets last or 9 targets last week, which was top 11 amongst receivers. The price alone, in my opinion, is enough to throw Sharp out there in cash games. I don't think he has as high of an upside because, you know, as far as athleticism wise, he's not like the most, you know, skilled receiver in the world. But I do like the price, and I think he has a pretty safe floor based on the targets.
All right. Well, I'm sticking away from him, but.
Hey, no worries. I'm probably not going to play him. I just want to mention him.
Yeah. The only person I would play on the Titans is Delanie Walker.
Yeah, and I have him as one of my plays, too. So yeah. I don't mind that. I will say I'll throw a couple quarterbacks since we didn't go like all the way through them. I know that Josh McCown is min salary. He's 5,000 on DraftKings. That's obviously a place that you might want to go. It saves you a lot of money. Josh McCown, you know, has done fairly well in his starts with Cleveland. Mind you, this is a Hugh Jackson offense. You know, so it might be a little bit different, but at 5,000, it's not a terrible dart throw. I like Brock Osweiler a little bit too. I mean, he's only 6,100. I understand that his upside isn't great, but I love the pass catchers there. If I'm liking Will Fuller and, you know, I like the Houston offense overall, then I have to like Brock Osweiler with it. Other than that, I kind of already mentioned the plays. Stafford, I still like underneath Eli Manning and Cam Newton overall. I also like Carson Palmer a ton at 6,900. I don't know why he's I don't know why his price is so depressed, in my opinion. It's just kind of weird to me. I have him as my number three quarterback this week. And again, the Bucs secondary is terrible. So I don't understand why there's so much, you know, price discrepancy on somebody like Carson Palmer.
Is there anyone you absolutely hate for quarterbacks?
Let's see. I will not be playing Aaron Rodgers. Not that I hate him. I just I don't like him against Minnesota.
Oh, so good. I know.
Yeah, your cousin Justin had them as his Super Bowl pick last year. So you know, he definitely loves him some Minnesota. I like Minnesota
Well, I mean, obviously they don't have Bridgewater now, but I don't think any team that Bridgewater's quarterbacking is going to make it to the Super Bowl. Sorry, Justin.
Well, they have Bradford now, so I mean,
oh yeah,
it's all the possibilities.
They got those 2015 Eagles Super Bowl champs.
You have to hit Andrew Luck this week. You have to like kind of just hope that he makes it out without, you know, severing his spleen or whatever he did last year, because Denver's defense again is just tenacious. There's not much to say other than that. Hopefully Andrew Luck, you know, can, you know, get by enough, you know, for season long owners, but for DFS, we don't have to roster him. So don't do it. Russell Wilson, man, I'm not going to be playing him. Mm-mm. I didn't feel good about what he did last week. First off, he screwed me over because I had him in multiple places, and, you know, not that I, you know, take recency bias, you know, into full effect or anything, but the fact that his running is kind of out the window based on the ankle injury. That's my biggest problem with somebody like Wilson, because that's where you get half your value from. So,
we haven't mentioned anyone on Seattle at all, and they are playing the terrible, horrible, shameful Rams. With Russell Wilson being injured, it looks like Christine Michael and Thomas Rawls are now sharing responsibilities. Do you like either one? Do you like Baldwin? Do you like anyone on Seattle this week?
I only like Baldwin, and that's because he just has the highest floor of any guy from Seattle. I mean, I understand Rawls actually it's reported that Rawls is going to be the starter now and Michael will back him up. I don't know what that means in terms of target share and in terms of actual reps. You know, I definitely will look into the snaps next week and see what kind of goes on there. But for me, it's just kind of tough to roster either one of them in DFS until I really know what kind of game I'm going to get out of either one of them. So for me, I don't even think that there's enough upside in tournaments to go with either one. The Rams have played Seattle fairly well these last couple of years, so I don't think we can just automatically bank on the Rams being a shitty defense this year. It might have just been one bad game. Maybe it wasn't. We'll never know. But
We'll know in the next three weeks.
So maybe. And honestly, like San Fran did this last week or last year on week one too. So I mean, I don't know for sure if this is just a thing that happens on week one with San Fran. They just have like a different level that they go to, or
it wasn't even San Fran looking good. It wasn't. The Rams looking bad.
It was.
And then again, it was like the Raiders, like just a flag on every play. They just looked like amateurs.
They did. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, I said like, oh, we wouldn't know. Of course we will know. We'll know in like a matter of, you know, seconds, whether, you know, Seattle is going to be able to just kill the Rams this week or not. But, you know, we'll see. I still have a little bit more faith in the Rams defense than a lot of other people do, I think. So we'll check it out. But overall, to answer your question, I still like Baldwin. I'm not going to be playing Lockett. Lockett didn't even get the second most amount of snaps in the wide receiver core.
The curse?
Yeah, Kurtz was the guy that got the second most. And it wasn't by a wide margin, so I'm making it sound like it was like a massive margin. But, you know, Lockett hasn't done enough so far in preseason and in the first game for me to warrant playing him right now. I don't mind him in tournaments, I guess, but last year in his two games against St. Louis, he really didn't do much. He only had, I think, total 7 receptions in those two games for a total of 60-something yards. That's not enough for me.
Yeah, I'm staying away from everyone. Including benching my Todd Gurley. Sorry. And okay, finally tight ends.
Tight ends. I have Gary Barnage, 4,000. You can look up his stats with Josh McCown, but they are insane overall. He's pretty much doubled his production whenever Josh McCown is on the field. He was a, what, borderline, you know, top five tight end when Josh McCown was on the field last year. So, I mean, that's not a newsflash to anybody. Everybody knows that. So I would go into this week knowing or expecting that Gary Barnage will probably be 30% owned or so. I also like Greg Olsen, like I kind of mentioned earlier with Cam Newton. I also like Jordan Reed. He didn't have a great two games against Dallas last year. They kind of wrapped him up a bit, but he's also the focal point of this offense. So I think you might be able to be a bit contrarian if you do roster somebody like Jordan Reed. I don't necessarily advise it. I haven't put him in any of my lineups quite yet, but I still do like him just from the fact that I think he's going to still get a ton of touches and probably be the focal point of the offense. Delanie Walker, we already kind of mentioned. Detroit was pretty bad against tight ends, not just last season, but last week. They gave up three of them to Jack Doyle and Dwayne Allen combined. So the fact that Delanie Walker is kind of going to come in and hopefully, you know, right his wrongs for what he did to a lot of people last week, you know, hopefully he'll do well. I still like, in the later end, I like Eric Ebron at 3,500 against Tennessee. Kyle Rudolph had a pretty decent game against Tennessee last week. So I think Ebron, especially, you know, he got a touchdown and, is still looking pretty solid. I mean, he'll always go down as the guy that Detroit took in front of Odell Beckham, but, he's still a pretty talented guy in his own right. I like his price tag. Dwayne Allen at 3,500. I don't mind going back to the well here. Denver, if they do have one leak in their defense, it's the tight end position. So Dwayne Allen, I like him a lot. He's cheaper. Kobe Fleener, I don't mind going back to. He's 3,900 and nobody will have him. Like literally nobody.
He was really bad last week. And you even mentioned last week that he's having problems learning all the plays in the playbook. Do you think he's going to be much better this week?
He might not be, but in DFS, sometimes you have to take some gambles in tournaments where, you know, I mean, he still got four targets last week, but mind you, that was in a game that was an absolute shootout. But the Giants were so terrible against the tight end last year. It was bad. And Jason Witten in week one, what, he have like 10 receptions?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Kobe Fleener, as bad as he is, and as much as I really don't care for him, he's not consistent. He runs terrible routes. He doesn't know how to catch the ball. I don't like Kobe Fleener. You know, I'll be very vocal about that. But the fact that his price dropped all the way down to 3,900 on a Saints defense or a Saints offense that's, you know, predominantly pass heavy, I don't mind taking a shot in tournaments. So, no, he's not my top choice. No, he's not even my fourth choice. But I don't mind throwing him out there if you want to kind of be really contrarian where nobody will go. Jesse James, I like for Pittsburgh against Cincinnati. He got a good amount of targets last week. Last year, the tight end position did pretty well for Pittsburgh against Cincinnati overall. 3,400 is his price tag. And I think that's pretty much it for me for this week. I don't mind rolling Clive Walford as well and Dennis Pitta. Those are two guys that are kind of lower, even lower, 2,900 and 2,800 respectively. I'll throw Virgil Green as my last guy. I haven't put him in anywhere yet, but the fact that he's 2,800, Indianapolis is hideous on defense in general. So Virgil Green could end up getting a touchdown, and at 2,800, that automatically pays off his price.
Right. That's the only person I was going to throw out that you hadn't mentioned.
I talked.
Man, we love DFS.
I know.
This may be one of the longest podcasts. I was told this is a 20-minute podcast. This is now our second podcast going over 40 minutes. Oops.
It's because we like to talk so much. You know, I mean, I kind of do a lot more of the talking, which is unfortunate.
Well, you also have a lot more of the information, so it's a good balance.
Kind of. Arguably.
Well, it's also funny. It's just like second week, I feel like going into week one, I feel like I know more and I'm like prepared. And then week one happens and shatters all my expectations. So then week two, I'm just more lost than I was week one.
You should just be more relaxed. I mean, just play it for fun and, you know, go with your gut. That's what I always tell people is go with your gut. You know, when they're asking me like, yo, do you want to go with, you know, what, Allen Robinson or Allen Hurns? You know, go with your gut. I want to go with Allen Hurns this week, but if you feel like Allen Robinson is going to get the better play or better matchups, then, you know, I mean, it all comes down to, you know, what you feel. So, I mean, I think people enjoy listening to your voice probably more than mine, though, so you probably should talk more.
When I have more to say, I will talk more. And we'll probably have a lot to say next week. Well, this also is the $20 DraftKings 1 million for first. So I feel like I have so much more at stake this week because I have more money put in.
Yeah, I have a couple put in there. I might put a few more in there. We'll see. I'm always a sucker for the, you know, $1 million maker. That's just the way
well,
I am.
Well, when it's the $3 last week, it's $3. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to make 50 lineups. No big deal. But now for the same amount, I only have, you know, 7 lineups.
Yeah. I have a couple rich buddies of mine that put a lot of Millie Maker lineups in last week. I think I have a buddy that put in like 250 of them, and I'm just like, dude, that's too much. But it's
you have to have a program to make that many. You can't just sit there and plug in person by person.
Oh yeah,
unless he has. Oh, he does. So he doesn't have a job.
No, so, not really. Yeah. DFS is his job. Nice. It's kind of like knocked up, like. They're talking about Flesh of the Stars, like the website or whatever. He's like, no, that is our job. We just don't make money off of it. So,
well, I was going to say, if he wins one, then sure, that's his job for life.
Yeah, I mean, that essentially is what happens. Before we kind of get rid of us, I want to throw a couple defenses out there real fast.
Yes.
The Panthers at 3,900, like I kind of mentioned with Cam Newton, it's kind of too easy at this point. The fact that, you know, San Fran is going across the nation to face Carolina after they, I think, are going to be more pissed off now than they probably ever have been, except for the, you know, Super Bowl loss. I think they're going to be really happy to face San Fran after facing Denver the last two times in the regular season. So I love the Panthers this week. I do like the Cardinals a bit. Jameis Winston, as much as I love him, he is a little bit turnover prone. And, you know, while he has kind of resolved some of that already this year, I think going into Arizona is a really tough spot to be in. So definitely like him. I also like, let me go down to the Lions. The Lions I like a lot against Tennessee. Marcus Mariota is still, you know, really, really bad in my opinion. He still has a lot to work on. The rushing and the fantasy side of it is definitely better than the actual NFL side of it for me, for Mariota. But, you know, Minnesota's defense just absolutely crushed it last week. Not saying the Lions are anywhere near that, but if they even put up half of that at their 2,800 price tag, I think we could be seeing a really good day for them. Really like the Patriots against Miami. They're 3,000. Kind of all the reasons I mentioned. I think that LeGarrette Blount is going to have a good game. I just think that the Patriots are going to be in control, and we'll see a pretty solid line from them. Again, only 3,000. It's not a bad bet. Kind of later on, I don't mind going with the Cowboys against Washington, 2,400. I know Justin will hate that, but you know, the fact that Kirk Cousins just really is still kind of, you know, erratic, and they don't have a run game. It really leaves Dallas with a opening to just kind of, you know, throw all their guys to pass rush and then, you know, try and, you know, snap off some interceptions, which is where we really make the money on the defensive side. I'll throw the Jaguars out there as well. I mean, with Keenan Allen gone, Phillip Rivers is, you know, he's good, but he's not nearly as good. His production goes down, I think, a third whenever Keenan Allen is out of game. So I think Jacksonville, with their kind of revamped defense, could show out a little better than they did last week against Green Bay. So.
And then one more question, since we basically were talking about tournaments, but for cash games, they do include the Monday night game. Do you like anyone on the sad, horrible, pathetic Bears or the shockingly surprising Carson Wentz maybe putting up some numbers Eagles?
Yeah, right. I mean, Carson Wentz did well last week. I was absolutely shocked.
Who knew?
Yeah. Not who knew he was ready the whole time? He was just faking a rib injury.
Do you like playing any of them in cash?
I like Alshon Jeffrey. I know he didn't like go crazy last week, but you know, he still has a high floor. I'm not looking at the prices for Monday, so I don't know where he's at. But I can probably assure you that he's a strong play this week. Philadelphia's secondary isn't amazing. And Jeffrey, I think, is just still an absolute beast. So Jeffrey, I can automatically say, is the top overall play for that game specifically. As far as the running backs go, I don't really like either side as far as the running backs. If I had to go with another pass catcher, I probably would go with Jordan Matthews. I don't mind throwing out somebody like Nelson Agholor. I think he's a little better than we're giving him credit for. He did catch a touchdown last week, so obviously we have a little bit of a recency bias there. But I'm not the guys I won't go on is Brent Celek. I know Zach Ertz is going to be out of the game, but Brent Celek is just not a very good football player. And Chip Kelly, his first read in his offense is always the tight end, which is why Celek had some good games in the past under that offensive scheme. This is a totally different offense with Doug Peterson, so I don't think we'll be seeing the same out of somebody like Brent Celek. So for me, the only guys that I would really be looking at are probably Matthews, Jeffrey, and then maybe some Agholor.
So no Langford for you?
No, I'm not really digging it for this game. I think that Philadelphia has a pretty good interior defense. They did pretty well last week, kind of containing Crowell and Duke Johnson. So again, I mean, it's not like, beating Cleveland is an amazing task, but the fact that they kind of corralled that offensive line, which is kind of underrated, is a pretty, strong sign to me that they're pretty decent against the run.
All right. Well, I'm not playing any of those cash games, but good luck to anyone. I feel like it's going to be another abysmal Monday night game.
It very well could be. I feel bad for the Bears, Bears fans really too. I mean, it's kind of tough to, kind of keep going through the same thing over and over again. It's, the team won't be able to turn over a new leaf until they get rid of, Jay Cutler and almost to this point, Alshon Jeffrey too. I mean, how long can you guys
so injury
with?
Prone?
Yeah,
I'm just waiting for him to get injured this season. That's why I just won't play him in any lineups.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind playing him daily, and that's kind of part of it with, and that's kind of how the game has changed. Back in the day, when you're playing fantasy, season-long fantasy, like, you have these guys for the season unless you trade them. Nowadays, like, I don't mind passing on certain guys in drafts because I know I can roster them in DFS and still get my, kind of fix. If I know that I'm not going to be able to get Odell Beckham because I never get the number one pick or number two pick anywhere, then, I can at least play him in DFS because then I can, end up getting some money that way. But, I think that that's kind of the way the game has changed over the years. With Jeffrey, I have never been one that's really drafted him a ton, but I have played him in DFS and he does work it out sometimes. But, you're kind of right. Like, as far as, owning Jeffrey in season long or just, playing him on a consistent basis in DFS, he's insanely infuriating.
I'm also just very superstitious. And I know the second I play him in DFS, he's going to like Keenan Allen and just get injured in the middle of the game where I'm playing him. So I just stay away.
The worst was Rawls last year for me. I was riding Rawls for like multiple weeks and then he ended up, literally and metaphorically. That's so,
and then he got crushed. His knee got.
Yeah, his Achilles. I believe it was his Achilles or his whatever it was. Either way, it was his ankle, somewhere in his ankle. Yeah, bad times.
Yikes. Well, wishing you luck for Tampa Bay and for your Eli OBJ stack.
Yeah. I'll definitely, I'll tweet out some more, kind of stacks and stuff like that. I know we've gone a while, so we won't bore you anymore, but,
if they've made it to the end, they can't possibly be bored.
I know, right?
if you made it to the end of this, you're
Bravo.
Much better than I am. Yeah. I'm like, I stopped listening like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. Well, if you want more info, you can go on at @MyCornerFWFB. Check out any of the picks I post on there or whatever else. I always throw a bunch of random nonsense out there as far as stats and, anything I'm doing or working on. And I know for you, Sasha, you have like multiple celebrities on your Twitter profile. So
I do. I did meet DeAndre Hopkins this summer and tweet. I mean, I've never been so nervous in my life to meet a celebrity and I was just shaking. And he's 24. Like, I literally just met a football child, and I was so nervous.
Well, now I'm insanely nervous because you're a celebrity, and I barely meet those.
Yeah, we'll see. So you guys keep following me on Twitter, @SashaSalinger, because you never know what random athlete I will tweet a picture with. I'm also not shy to ask for a photo if I meet someone.
Next week it's going to be Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, exactly. Because he won't be playing. He'll be on reserve, and I'm going to run into him here in Los Angeles. Oh, if that happens, I'm going to feel like I jinxed it. Sorry, Alshon. All right. Well, thanks, you guys, for listening if you actually made it this far. And be sure to check out our tweets Sunday morning because a lot of time there's some injury updates, and especially with the new, like, questionable ratings, people – maybe deemed questionable and then may actually be playing or not be playing. So keep posted. Make sure you check right before the games go, like 30 minutes before, because you don't want to end up having someone who's not playing on your DFS lineup. That's just the worst.
So frustrating. So frustrating.
Oh, God. It's just a big fat zero. It just looks at you like Gary Barnage last week. Zero in your face.
Yeah.
On that note, bye. Bye, everyone.
Every night.